L-E-D-E-N-E-T. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pro football full circle.
Circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle!
We are off and running in today's edition of Pro Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 159. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel getting you prepped and ready for week number 16. But we have a couple games on tap a little bit later tonight. Two big ones, NFC East battle, Washington, Philadelphia. Washington is a 6.5-point underdog on the road in Lincoln Financial against Jalen Hurts and the crew. And the late game tonight, L.A., the Rams are a 7-point favorite over the Seattle Seahawks and Russell Wilson. Seattle now put back-to-back victories together. Can they get another one under their belt? When you look at L.A., dealing with some COVID issues, Scott. But there were two games last night. And two really good games when you think about it. I mean, Las Vegas and Derek Carr pulled the game out on a last-second field goal. They prevail. Did not cover that line. They were laying 3.5 on the road in the dog pound, 16-14. Derek Carr with a big day, 236 through the air, one touchdown, one interception. And on the flip side in Soldier Field, how bad is Matt Nagy and the Chicago Bears? Multiple opportunities, right? Multiple to not only cover that game, Scott, but actually potentially maybe win the game, but fumbles, penalties, just missed opportunities by Justin Fields and the crew. Kirk Cousins and Minnesota prevail and get the cover 17-9. What happened at the end of that ball game too? Because the spread was 7 in that matchup.
Yeah, I know. You know, they changed that rule, I want to say 3, maybe 4 years ago, Joe, in that used to be you had to kick the extra point no matter what the circumstance, even if you put you up 27 and it had no bearing on the game, or, you know, it cut a deficit to 20, we'll say, but regardless, it had no bearing on the outcome of the game. They made you because of the bettors. But somewhere along the line, I think they finally realized this is stupid. You know, teams were leaving the field. They were calling guys out. Remember, they were calling guys back from the locker room. A team would be up 20 to kick an extra point. So I would say 3, maybe 4 years ago, they stopped doing that, saying if the extra point is meaningless, you don't have to kick it. And because of that, you know, you didn't get the push. You know, the only thing it did help you with, if you were teased the Bears, then that made yourself a winner versus a loser. But that kind of stinks. You think, okay, I'm going to walk out of here with a miracle push. And in the end, it's not the case. Although I got to tell you, you know, let's just say, Joe, I know it's goofy, but there are tiebreakers where point differential comes into play. I mean, if you want to get technical and anal about this. I know the Bears are now out of it, but if it was two first-place teams or two teams battling for a playoff spot, right? I mean, they should theoretically kick that extra point if it came down to a, you know, point differential, but I get it. You know, but 3 straight trips into the red zone. Here's the bottom line. 3 straight trips into the red zone, and the Bears walked away with no points. I mean,
Unbelievable. Yeah. And not only that, though, Scott, I mean, if you watch the second half of the matchup, I mean, they were moving the football with Justin Fields through the air, and you say to yourself, okay, why did Matt Nagy have to run the football for basically a half in that ballgame? When you look at Minnesota's defense, right? I mean, they were giving up big plays in terms of the passing game. Cole Kmet with a big day. Mooney was getting involved. They even Bird, I mean, dropped a critical fourth down late in that matchup. But at the end of the day, Justin Fields was in a rhythm with basically about 12 minutes left in the fourth quarter. It's like, why did you wait so long to open up the offense and put the ball in your quarterback's hands? It's the same old game plan for Matt Nagy and the Chicago Bears, and that's why he's not going to be there on the sidelines in 2022.
Yeah, and they might as well get rid of him now, right? They know that. Although the GM may be out the door as well, so I guess you can't really fire both. So knowing how they run things in Chicago, they'll probably let him finish out the regular season. But I would be shocked if Nagy was there. But you're right. Fields was 9 of 11 at halftime, and he finishes up with 26 of 39, you know, for 285 yards. Okay, you want to throw away the 40 yards, 50 yards, whatever it was for the Hail Mary. He still was, you know, was 25 of 38. I mean, that's pretty darn good for, 250 yards or so. I don't get it. They just are hell-bent on trying to run the football, and it cost them last night. It cost them a couple of times this year. They're a better than 4-10 football team. Fields has shown, and here's the other thing, Joe, I don't understand why they didn't design more plays for Fields. You know, he had three carries last night, or actually seven in the end, but he had three when it came to actual design plays for him to run the ball. And as much as I'm not a fan of that, listen, if one of his main assets is his scrambling around and ability to run, why not call some, Justin Fields left, Justin Fields right plays?
Yeah, totally agree. He did fumble on one of those plays. Maybe that led to maybe not pulling the trigger on that. On the flip side, Las Vegas, if you bet them at the start of the year, 6.5 was the win total. They got there 7-7. That was a gutty victory by Derek Carr and the crew. And when you look at Cleveland now, almost dead and buried for a playoff spot.
Yeah, and well, you know, it boils down to, Joe, one first down. You know, the Browns' season might come down to they were unable to get one first down. They have the lead and the football, leading at 14-13. And they run the ball three times to Nick Chubb. I'm not going to kill him for that because it is Chubb, but they get a first down, ball game's over. They don't, Raiders kick the winning field goal. It's as simple as that.
When Scott and I come back, we'll get you prepared for both games tonight and really dive into NFL week number 16. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel right here on The Grid. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi, Scott Wetzel breaking down two big games tonight, one in the NFC East, the other in the NFC West. We'll start with that battle in Lincoln Financial. Both teams do kick off at 7 o'clock. We have Washington 6.5-point dogs to take on the Eagles. Washington minus 106 on FanDuel, total set at 41 and a hook, minus 110 either way. Eagles, you're going to lay minus 114 in this ball game. Garrett Gilbert most likely will get the start for Washington unless we have a change with Heinicke and Kyle Allen coming off the COVID list. To me, it doesn't matter. I saw Gilbert play earlier in the year in the preseason. I actually thought he played better than Cooper Rush did in the preseason to win the backup role to Dak Prescott, but he got cut. They gave way to Cooper Rush. I'm going to take Washington here, Scott. I mean, I don't love it, but the fact that I do believe they have the more physical defense, and I'll roll with the kid Garrett Gilbert on the road. I think Ron Rivera, Antonio Gibson, they can pound the rock between the tackles and maybe grind out a tough-fought victory in this matchup.
Yeah, I kind of like that as well. Listen, once you think you have an angle on this stuff, Joe, you know, you get 16-14 Raiders beat the Browns, right? I mean, the Browns are going with absolutely nobody on that team. You knew they were just going to hand the ball off to Nick Chubb, but when you looked at who's playing, who's not playing, it's like both the tackles were out. I mean, everybody, no wide receivers, no quarterbacks. I mean, how could you possibly put American money on the Cleveland Browns right at getting only three at home against a mediocre Raider team? And what happens, you know, you guessed it, you know, Raiders win, but they don't cover. So you almost have to throw this stuff out. I know it's crazy thinking, but if you want to give me 6.5 points in a division game between two teams that are battling for a playoff spot, should go down to the wire. Neither team is particularly good. You know, Redskins live on defense anyway, not on offense. It's not like they're outscoring teams 35-30. Now all of a sudden they don't have a quarterback. So I agree with you. You know, just listen, make the kid, put the kid in a position where he can succeed, and don't do something stupid like the Denver Broncos did last year with the wide receiver quarterback when he had the kid throwing bombs all game. You know, throw short passes, matriculate the ball down the field. Thank you, Hank Stram. And they should be in this game. You know, 6.5 is a lot of points, so I wouldn't be surprised because, like I said, you saw it last night with the Browns.
I agree with you in the sense of you sort of have to throw everything out of the window, Scott. It's almost like, remember when you look at one of those crazy pictures or Where's Waldo? You have to unfocus your eyes, so to speak. You just have to throw everything out of the window and just go, okay, divisional game, two solid teams for the most part. All right, maybe Philly has the better offense, but the better defense and the more physical team, whether it be backups or second and third stringers, happens to be Washington and Ron Rivera. You have a veteran coach going up against a first-year guy. Yeah, I'll take my shot with the 6.5 points. I will say this. Both games trended to the under last night. And now do we get a flip tonight? Because this line opened up at 42.5 in terms of tonight's action. It's a little cold here on the Northeast. Maybe it's a cold football. Maybe some fumbles, some turnovers. I mean, money coming in on the under now, it's 41.5. I'm going to take the over in both games tonight, so I'll lean over Philly and Washington in this ballgame.
Yeah, me too. It's sad to say we both agree on this stuff, which is a dangerous thing. You know, it's not good. Not good at all. Here's why, Joe. You have to look at the drop-off. You know, you want to say Gary Gilbert isn't any good. Okay, well, what was Taylor Heinicke? You know, you're not going from Tom Brady to Gail Gilbert here. You know, you're going to basically the same thing, right? We saw it with the Dolphin game. You know, you're bringing Duke Johnson. Who's Duke Johnson, right? We heard of him, but he was a scrub. He was thrown on the pile heap for retired players, right? They bring him out of the closet there, and he runs for 100 yards. Now that's a running back, but, you know, quarterbacks is thing. If your quarterback is just, you know, an average quarterback, as Washington QBs are, then, you know, Gail Gilbert can't be that or worse than Heinicke and company. So, yeah, I think it'll be they're capable of putting 20 points on the board. Philadelphia at home is capable of putting 20 points on the board. So, bettors are a creature of habit, right? They see both games last night going way under. They go, oh, okay, backups are all in. The COVID players are out. It's going to be the same thing. I like the over in Philly game as well. And the fact that the Rams-Seattle game, Joe, jumped from 45 yesterday to now 47, that tells me all those Ram players are all playing, and they're the wise guys are expecting a shootout. This is one time I'm going to be on the wise guys' case.
Yeah, so the other game, like you mentioned, that line basically was 6.5 at the start of the week, got as low as 4 when OBJ and 9 other players were on the COVID list, at least on the offensive side of the ball. Then it popped back up to about 6.5 late yesterday. It's up to a key number in 7 on FanDuel right now, -106 for the LA Rams. You want to take a shot on Russell Wilson and the crew, they're -114. Like Scott mentioned, total jumped from basically 45 up to 47.5. It's settled in now at 46 and a hook at -110. I'm with you. I'm on the over, but I do like Seattle here. Now, we did talk about me placing the bet. I did place it last week at 24-1 for them to make the playoffs. Now FanDuel's taking that off the board, so you never know how it plays out over the next 4 games, but give me the Seahawks. They're fighting for their lives. Expect Rashad Penny to have a big day. They might not win, but to cover 7, I'm going to give it a shot later tonight.
Yeah, you're getting a lot of reports out of L.A. about guys being activated. That's why that line, no doubt, is jumping up. Jalen Ramsey on defense is supposed to play now. Darrell Henderson is supposed to play. He was activated off the COVID list. So that's why that number is going up. And Seattle, Joe, has put, as bad as their offense has been, they put back-to-back 30-point performances on the board. So maybe that offense is turning things around just a little bit. You know the Rams are going to put 20-plus on the board. So as long as Seattle can keep pace a little bit. McVay has no problem running up the score. He's never stopped throwing a football. So Beckham is back for the Rams as well. I like the over. You know, it's a modest number at 47. Even if it keeps on going up. Anything under 50, I'll still play the over in that game also.
Yeah, we'll see how that does play out. Now, bigger picture, when you saw, obviously, Arizona now struggle and some of the issues that they had on Sunday against the Detroit Lions, if L.A. does, in fact, win this game, best team in the West, or you still believe that potentially maybe it is Jimmy Garoppolo and the San Francisco 49ers that got a critical victory and a cover over Atlanta this past Sunday?
Yeah, I'm going down with the ship with San Fran. I'll never buy into to Matthew Stafford. So you know it's not him. We saw what Arizona's really about this past weekend at Detroit after a loss. So I'm still thinking it's San Francisco. You know, a healthy, and I know you could say this about a lot of teams, but I'm just going to say it with San Fran. A healthy San Fran. Boy, Deebo Samuel, you know, Kittle on the outside, Ayuk on the outside starting into a pretty good player. Their defense is starting to pick things up here a little bit. You know, if they could just get some modest quarterback play out of Jimmy G and not screw up, you know, that's not that is a dangerous football team. We saw just a couple years ago, and with Samuel being as good as he is, he's turning into a tremendous player, right? I think they're the most dangerous team there to upset the apple cart in the NFC.
They have weapons. Jeff Wilson stepped up with 112 rushing yards in this ballgame. As long as they can run the football, Garoppolo is effective. The one thing I don't like about Jimmy G is the fact that he keys on two players, right? It's Kittle, it's Deebo Samuel, and he forgets about everybody else. I mean, Ayuk, if he's implemented into the offensive scheme and play calling, he's a dynamic player. If they spread it around just a little bit more, that would make them that much more dynamic, in my opinion, and maybe you're right. You know, obviously this team is hitting stride. I always like teams, Scott, that can run the football, play solid defense. They stepped up with back-to-back goal line stands against Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons that killed the over in that ball game. So this defense seems to be coming into form as well.
Yeah, they're the sixth choice right now, you know, in the NFC. Like I said, I'm not putting them in the category of Green Bay or Tampa Bay, but if I was going to pick a team, you know, whether it's Minnesota or Philadelphia, Washington, or the Saints, that might upset the apple cart, to me, it's San Francisco.
Yeah, we'll see how that plays out. When Scott and I come back, we'll dive right into the games for this coming Saturday and Sunday. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel right here on the grid coming back with NFL action week number 16. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Ripping through the action for week number 16, we left off talking about the San Francisco 49ers and their victory over the Atlanta Falcons. Scott, we might as well just dive quickly into the ball game this coming Thursday night. It is San Fran on the road in Nashville to take on Ryan Tannehill and the Titans. San Fran, a 3.5-point road favorite in this ball game, minus 110 either way, total set at 44.5. I said it earlier, the identity of Tennessee's lost. No running game. Julio Jones, I said yesterday, complete bust. The guy doesn't have a touchdown, 25 receptions, can't stay healthy. He is like Dez Bryant was at the end of his career at the Dallas Cowboys when he moved on and he got hurt with New Orleans and then he got hurt basically with Baltimore. I think this is Julio Jones. And I know up until this point he's been healthy, but once you start to break down, that's it. You're like the Ferrari. You start buying parts and never get the same type of production. I'm laying the wood with San Fran, and I do feel that this game is an under because Tennessee, to me, can't go toe-to-toe with Jimmy Garoppolo, Kittle, Samuel, just not enough weapons in this matchup.
Yeah, it's too bad. This team, Tennessee, is just limping home, isn't it? They were 8-2 at one point, everything going gravy for them. Then they lose a home game, albeit in the pouring rain, but still they lose a home game to god-awful Houston, and they lose to the Patriots. You know, they don't look great in a win at Jacksonville, and then lose this past week to Pittsburgh. So they are definitely limping home here. They're going to get into the postseason at 9-5. Their total is hit already. But they may go, you know, I don't know about winless, but they got San Fran, home dogs. What does that tell you? Then they got our beloved Dolphins, and then they finish up at Houston. I don't think they'll necessarily need that Houston game, but listen, you never know. At 9-7, that they just might in the AFC. So it's too bad. I really like this team, Joe. You know, with Derrick Henry and a healthy, a full body, it's kind of like I was saying with San Fran, and you know, we can say the same thing about Tennessee. Boy, Tennessee on paper, healthy. But this is why Julio Jones was let go for a bag of bones by the Atlanta Falcons, right? Everyone was scratching their head saying, boy, they couldn't get more than that. Why would the Falcons trade him? But, you know, but he can't stay healthy anymore. He just can't. So I wouldn't play him again until the postseason, even if he was healthy, unless they were in a do-or-die situation in that Houston game. I don't understand how a guy can be that fragile. Just he can't walk without pulling a hamstring. I mean, it's crazy. It really is.
I agree with you. I think the bigger question, too, is that when you look at Tannehill, right, and we've seen him in Miami, we know, right? Yeah. I mean, when you see Nick Mullins chuck it around and you see some of these backups, right, we have starting quarterbacks that can't throw more than 150 yards in a game. And I understand that they're playing with backups, second and third teamers. But it's not like Ryan Tannehill just came into the league yesterday. He's a veteran quarterback. At some point, you got to say, Ryan, earn your money and start to throw it over the top. I don't understand why these teams, like, okay, I get it. You have a star player. You have star players at the wide receiver position that aren't playing. But the Cleveland moved the football in the final quarter with Nick Mullins. You're telling me that Ryan Tannehill in a game of four quarters at the start can't throw for more than 180 yards in a ball game? The guy's making $10 million a year. I mean, I don't understand why these guys can't step up. But then we have has-been backups that are all of a sudden lighting up the yard left and right.
You know, we've seen the drop-off, Joe, from the quarterback starter to the backup maybe isn't that great on a lot of teams, but the drop-off from the starting wide receiver to the backup is. We've seen it with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. We've seen it last Sunday, you know, yesterday, 2 days ago, with Tom Brady in Tampa Bay. You know, he's the greatest quarterback of all time, and he couldn't complete a five-yard pass, for goodness sakes, with his backups in there. And we're seeing it with Tennessee. You know, they don't have A.J. Brown either. You see, you're taking his two best weapons away to throw the football to, and we're seeing the Miami Dolphin. I said this on my podcast. This is the Miami Dolphin Ryan Tannehill. You know, yes. He couldn't get a snap from center. He fumbled a freaking snap from center. His interceptions are atrocious. It's like, what are you doing? I mean, it's the basics of being a quarterback, and this is the Ryan Tannehill. He's finally emerged, you know, after he gets his $150 million contract. So, right. You know, congratulations, Tennessee. You finally come to our world.
Right, I agree with you. And if you want some advice, if you're an NFL GM or scout and they're going to think I'm nuts, oh, who's Lisi calling people out? You don't go for wide receivers in Minnesota. Tyler Johnson, Rashad Bateman. Yeah, they had dynamic years. You go from guys in the Big 12, Texas Tech. Look at Jakeem Grant. I mean, the guy produces it. He got knocked out yesterday. But you go for players that go into pass-happy leagues. You want a backup? You could get them on the cheap. Oklahoma State, West Virginia, you don't need to be a rocket scientist to get a second and third teamer from a Big 12 offense or even a Conference USA player, right? I mean, you have to go Big 10 where they traditionally run the football. Yeah, get a wide receiver from Nebraska. See how good that does. I mean, Stanley Morgan Jr., yeah, get him. You know, where Adrian Martinez couldn't throw a football through the side of a window. I mean, come on now. It's unbelievable how some of they're like, I'm going to thread the needle right through with this guy. Meanwhile, there's 17 other players that have put up numbers, and all you have to do is get them on the cheap, and they can produce. These GMs want to try and make rocket science out of football. It's ridiculous to me. Yeah.
In the words of Rick Pitino, Irving Fryer is not walking through that door, okay? So stay away from Nebraska and Big Ten wide receivers.
I mean, come on now. It's like, oh, let's get Shevin Wiggins, you know, all of a sudden from Nebraska.
Wiggins. People have heard of Irving Fryer, I think. Shevin Wiggins. I don't even know who that is, and I'm a Nebraska
fan. Shevin Wiggins was the player that caught the Eric Crouch touchdown in Missouri back in 1996.
Oh,
Okay. Remember, it was Devin.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Matt Davison and Shevin Wiggins.
What was controversial about that? Right? He came in over. He came after the time, and or he knocked somebody right. over. So, what was something
exactly.
goofy with that
Shevin
play?
Shevin Wiggins
yeah.
actually kicked the football
that was
up in the air.
Okay. But, oh, but, that was it. He kicked the ball. That,
yeah,
that's right.
exactly. But what I'm saying is, like, I mean, can we stop already? It's like the New York Giants. All right, when you see Nick Mullins come off the bench, basically the guy's playing street football 2 weeks ago. He comes in, he leads a fourth quarter drive. You have Mike Glennon that's in the league. And did you see the amount of money that they're paying Mike Glennon per year? $4 million, $5 million, $10
million. Wow.
Unbelievable. Right?
Tannehill has thrown for less than 200 yards his last three games. 153, 191, 93. The only one he actually threw for 300-plus was the Houston game in a loss. But otherwise, he's thrown for less than 200 yards. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times this year. Less than 200 yards six times.
It's incredible.
And a couple of others at 215 and 216. I mean.
Right. And they were talking about him being comeback player of the year. Remember when they went to the championship game and lost against Pat Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs? Not living up to expectations. Scott and I both like San Francisco in that ball game. All right, let's look at this ball game because it is very intriguing to me because it's a divisional battle, but I mean, it's a tale of two teams right now. Lamar Jackson's banged up. We have Baltimore catching two and a hook against Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. A gutty 15-10 victory over the Denver Broncos. Total set at 44.5. I said this. They might be more consistent of an offense, Baltimore, with Huntley at the helm than Lamar Jackson. At least he knows what he wants to go with the football. He limits turnovers, and you're getting the same type of RPO production from Huntley, the kid from Utah. I mean, to step up and lead that almost come-from-behind win against Aaron Rodgers this past Sunday, I mean, the kid's gutty. Back-to-back covers for Tyler Huntley. Now Baltimore catching 2.5 on the road. I'm buying in with you. I think Cincinnati does in fact cover and win this ball game convincingly over a beat up Raven team Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, you know, two things. One, back to the South just for a second. Grabbing the Colts now 5-1 to win that division, the way the Titans are playing, they're one game back, isn't a bad play. Not you want to take a little shot 5-1. Two, here's the question for Raven fans, Joe, and I'm serious about this. And I'm not saying it's just because it's Baltimore. This has been my MO. I don't pay these quarterbacks $35, $45 million. And that's the going rate. You know, if you're Pat Mahomes, okay, I get it. Perhaps Aaron Rodgers, okay, I get it. But am I paying Baker Mayfield that kind of money? No. Am I paying Lamar Jackson that kind of money? No. You know, if Huntley plays like he played, which is a big if, but if he continues to show that he can do the same things that Lamar Jackson can do, why would you pay Lamar $40 million and chew up that much salary cap space? To me, I got 5 years of you. You can't produce a Super Bowl. That's it. Sorry. It's not anything against you. But I'm not giving one guy $45 million when I got a salary cap of around $200 million. I got 54 other guys I got to pay. So I don't know. Are you willing to kick Lamar Jackson out the door? The answer to me is yeah. I am.
Well, you are. But
you got one more year of him. No, right. But will the Ravens do that? But you know what? If Lamar sits out, Joe, now he's got an ankle injury, so who knows how serious it is. But if Huntley plays like he played against Green Bay, are you telling me that that's not a consideration this offseason? Are we really going to give this guy $45 million a year when we have another guy that can do the same damn thing and maybe even better? I saw better passes out of Huntley on Sunday than I saw in 3-plus years out of Lamar Jackson.
No, that's a great point. And the kid was a gamer. I mean, let's not forget it. Led his team to a Pac-12 championship a couple of years ago where they lost to Oregon. I mean, the kid is a gamer. Now, he didn't put up huge stats in the Pac-12, but he was a mobile guy, and what you see is what you get. They're never out of it. You know, I would much rather bet on a player like Huntley where you know the kid's giving it 150% every time he steps out onto the football field than some of these garbage quarterbacks that just mail it in at the end of the year. Scott.
Yeah, I'm telling you. The ability to scramble in the NFL 2021 is priceless, and I'll take that over his ability to throw the football.
When Scott and I return, we'll talk about some of the other battles within the NFC and AFC. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel right here on the grid, coming right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
With Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Continuing the conversation for week 16, we left off talking about some critical matchups in the AFC between the Ravens and Cincinnati Bengals. Going to turn our attention to that battle in Carolina between touchdown Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking on Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers. Carolina was basically a 14 and a half point underdog against the Buffalo Bills on the road. Played well, I want to say, for about, what, three and a half quarters. Then in the final 7 minutes, Josh Allen and the crew pulled away and covered that number by 17 points. On Sunday night, we knew what happened. Tom Brady was shut out for the first time, Scott, in what, 15 years? 15 years
our
in
Dolphins.
That ball game by our Miami Dolphins and Nick Saban. Amazing in terms of that matchup. Just a dynamic performance by the New Orleans Saints in that ball game. But when you just look at this ball game right now, laying 11, no Chris Godwin. He's out for the regular season and now the playoffs with a torn MCL. AB does come back. But I'll tell you what, I don't know the mental resolve of touchdown Tom. Fournette's banged up. Evans is banged up. I'm going to take the 11 points with Carolina. Tampa Bay might win, but give me the Panthers as a home dog here.
Yeah, listen, Carolina's got tremendous numbers as underdogs, but that didn't help them this past week in Buffalo, right? So they ended up not covering the spread. You got the head coach, Matt Rhule, calling out his quarterback for the second straight week, Cam Newton. Cam 7-20 now straight up, 8-19 against the spread, more importantly, in his last 27 starts. Battle of former Patriot quarterbacks, if you want to go down that road. But Carolina is 9-2 against the spread as dogs, although that's road dogs. But generally speaking, they're good against the spread. Tampa Bay, you want numbers on Tom Brady as far as losses are concerned? 52-15. Guy's only lost two games in a row 15 times his entire career. How amazing is that? 52-15, and more importantly, 48-23 against the spread. So with or without his weapons, there's no way in the world. I know it's a big number. Who wants to lay double digits on the road? But that Carolina team is an absolute mess. And I'm going to go with Tom Brady with those numbers. He'll find a way to put a few touchdowns on the board.
Yeah, we'll see. Now, let me ask you this about Tom Brady, bigger picture. Okay, obviously the loss to Godwin hurts. Did New Orleans basically, and we know that they have his number. We know that they have Tampa Bay's number in recent years. Did they really show the defensive game plan needed to beat Tom Brady? Now, I understand the injuries. I got that. But, Brady's not mobile. They got pressure off the edge. They got pressure up the middle. They forced him to check down. Every throw was short to intermediate. They didn't give him time to survey the field. I mean, that could be a glimpse as to potentially maybe a Green Bay defensive game plan or some of these other teams, if Arizona could get there, to knock off Tom Brady and the crew in a playoff atmosphere.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't think it's a great mystery. Just like it's not a great mystery on how to stop Kansas City, right? Same thing Tampa Bay did in the Super Bowl, put pressure on him. He's 90 years old, and, they're like a genius to figure that out, right? But it's one thing to think it and know it. It's another thing to be able to do it. The Saints, for whatever reason, have been able to do it the three regular season games that they played Brady. Other teams have not. But I don't think, Joe, that teams are saying, wow, is that how you beat a 43-year-old quarterback? I mean, we should actually put pressure on him? Okay. Maybe it stops defensive coordinators from playing those dopey zone defenses where you and I could throw for 300 yards against. But maybe that's maybe more the equation. You blitz sometimes, you try and put pressure on Brady, and you don't give the wide receivers a five-yard cushion. How frustrating is it when you watch a game when your team is allowing the opposing team to march right down the field because the defensive backs are 10 yards off the line of scrimmage, and you're just dinking and dunking? So maybe more so than even the pressure, it's just don't give these guys. They weren't giving those Tampa Bay wide receivers any respect, and none of them were able to beat them deep. So that's what it is.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. Obviously, you got to get pressure on Brady, knock him off his mark, and then see what happens in terms of, you know, the breakdown for your secondary. You can't allow him to survey the field for 14 seconds. He's going to pick apart anybody in terms of that atmosphere. Let's look at another matchup. We'll turn our attention quickly to the NFC East, because we know that Philadelphia has a game with Washington, but these Giants now have come out and said that Daniel Jones is, in fact, done for the year. You and I broke it a couple of weeks ago, said that the team would not come out and say that Daniel Jones was, in fact, done for the year because they didn't want teams to game plan. I tell you what, even if teams weren't game planning for the New York Giants, they could still throw out a bunch of scrubs and beat that offense the way they played over the last 3 weeks of the regular season. Three straight losses with Mike Glennon. Total bum when you just think about the performances. I mean, Miami, L.A., and then last week against the Dallas Cowboys. So happy, though, that they fired Jason Garrett and Freddie Kitchens. That offensive genius is making all the play calls now, because it seems like he should be coaching a peewee team.
Yeah, and things have not gotten better with Jason Garrett. Jason Garrett's stock has actually gone up since his firing, because the Giant offense has gone down. If you're Mike Glennon, you know, I've said this many times about these backup quarterbacks. The last thing they want is for the starter to get hurt. It's like, what do you mean? They'll never play. Exactly. They'll never play. They'll never get exposed for being awful. They'll collect, $1 million, $2 million, $4 million. I think you said Glennon's actually making. Now he has to play, and now the Giants realize he sucks, and so does the rest of the NFL. So it's like, that's it. You're done. Why would anybody bring on Mike Glennon at this point? I mean, he is just, 99 yards and three interceptions. Jake Fromm had nearly as many yards in one drive, 82, as Glennon had the entire game. So, yeah, he's done. Giants are done. What a mess. Well, I tell you, you got some piss-poor operations right now in the NFL, Joe. I mean, you really do. The Chicago, some big-time franchises, too, right? The New York Giants are an absolute mess. Chicago Bears are an absolute mess. Not a big-time franchise, but Jacksonville is an absolute mess. The Texans are an absolute mess. They don't know if they're coming or going with Deshaun Watson and everything. I mean, you got a number of teams that are just looking at major overhauls, and the Giants are at the top of the list.
I agree with you. I'll tell you, one organization that's bounced back into form is the Raiders. You know, coachless in terms of the head coach. They find a way, as long as Derek Carr's healthy, they find a way to pull ball games out. And love them or hate them, they are competitive. I mean, outside that blowout loss to the Kansas City Chiefs, at least they come to play, even on the road. I mean, that's the one thing I think that, you know, we say, okay, head coach matters. Yeah, it matters to a degree. You got an interim staff now, and you look at some of the ball games that they have won on the road this year. I mean, they have stepped up, and now they play Denver. This was a game that they played right after John Gruden got fired. Remember, they were a 5-point dog. They stepped up. They won that ball game by, I believe it was 10 points, 34-24. Now they're at home laying 1.5. I got to be honest with you. Bridgewater's banged up. Vic Fangio sucks. I'm rolling with the Raiders here. They're 500. They're going to win this ball game, laying a short number of 1.5. I like the Raiders, and I do feel that the over comes in, because as bad as Vic Fangio and that offensive staff are, they want to win ball games 10-9. I see Las Vegas putting up 30 in this ball game.
Yeah, I think we mentioned it over the weekend, Joe. I don't get, or maybe I mentioned it last night on Endgame Live, do so many shows here. You know, I was thinking of you this weekend as my Jerry Jeudy in my fantasy playoff had, zero. Not the three or four or even two or even one. He had zero receptions. I mean, I was thinking of you because I know you just love Vic Fangio. I'm thinking, how in the world do you go into a big-time Denver-Cincinnati game? You're number one wide receiver, right? And you don't design one play, not one play where we say, listen, we got to get this guy the ball. We've gone through the first quarter, no receptions. Second quarter, no receptions. Third quarter, no receptions. We got to get him the ball. He's our number one. We spent a first-round draft choice on this guy a couple of years ago. Not once. I mean, how is that how do you look yourself in the mirror as an offensive coordinator and say, I know what the hell I'm doing when I got my best offensive weapon, or certainly one of them, and he doesn't touch the football one freaking time? So I can't put the money on Denver. I just can't. With Bridgewater out, especially Drew Lock, boy, the last second, what a crazy scenario. They're down 5 points, and there's Drew Lock, you know, taking his time, 48 seconds. The next time they ran a play, there was 12 seconds left. They're down one score, and they're just kind of fuddling around, you know, taking their time at the line of scrimmage. I'm like, do you realize the clock is rolling? So, no, I can't put that. Yeah, can't believe I'm actually saying give me the Raiders over anybody, because they're as bumbling and stumbling as anybody.
You
know what?
I suck
the Raiders. Yeah, you sucked me into the Raiders.
Right, he's not bad, though. Am I wrong?
Oh, it's like he's awful. What do you? Yeah, it's just amazing to me.
It is. It's almost like I put Vic Fangio, and I'll call him Dr. Evil. Why win a game, 24-21 when you could win a game 3-0? Like, he's just that stupid. He really is. Why make billions when you can make millions? That's Vic Fangio. He's so ass backwards in terms of his mentality that it's amazing. I'll tell you what. If he's not out in Denver, especially if they don't make the playoffs, they're never going to get to the promised land, because they still don't have a quarterback. Teddy Bridgewater now is getting banged up. You don't utilize those weapons. You have Melvin Gordon. You have Javonte Williams. You mentioned Judy. They have Noah Fant, Tim Patrick, Cortland Sutton. How many more weapons do you need for this team?
Those are all first-round draft choices. You know, whether it's Sutton or Fant, I mean, I'd never take a tight end in the first round, but they did. And Judy. I mean, those are all first-round picks. They signed Melvin Gore. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. And I'll tell you, the other thing is they are 11-2 under, or 11-3 under this year. They keep on, FanDuel and company, they keep on posting these numbers for Bronco games in the mid-40s, and it is taking like candy from a baby. I mean, it is so easy. It's remarkable. They don't score. You know, this week, they finally, I can't believe it, they finally actually lowered it to the low 40s, 42.5, because it's been 45, 46, 44, 47 over the last several weeks, and it's like, are you kidding me? Are you watching the Broncos play? Their defense is great, and their offense sucks. I'm just thrilled posting those numbers the way they were. But this week, I see it here on FanDuel at 42.5. That's not that bad.
All right, I'm gonna put the hook in the water, Scotty. You ready?
All right,
because obviously you love the weekly specials. All right, Bucks coming off a shutout loss. Can they win every quarter against the Carolina Panthers this week? 6-1 they're going to give you on FanDuel.
Ooh, I like that. I do like that. By the way, when we were going over last week, right, did we even consider Bucks Saints as lowest scoring game? I don't think so.
No.
Yeah, right? I
mean, not at all.
So I wonder, we got to like make a copy of the odds. I was curious to see what that would have been, like 50-1, 40-1. So, but I think that, you know what, the way Brady's going to be pissed off a little bit here, I think they're going to come out flying. So they'll win the first quarter. So, you know, the fourth quarter, when they're up 30-3, would be my only concern, but 6-1's a pretty good payoff on that. It doesn't happen often. It's not easy. Don't get me wrong, but I think we have the onus here on the Bucks because the way they played this past Sunday, that they're going to come out flying from start to finish.
Okay, I have another one for you. It doesn't have a bearing on the Philadelphia game with Washington, but the Giants and Eagles square off, or early on, FanDuel has the Eagles, I believe, as a 10-point favorite. Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts each to have 75-plus rushing yards in Week 16's matchup, 7-1. Hurts in the first meeting had 77. Saquon Barkley's absolute garbage since he came back from the ACL this year.
Boy, he really is. Although I must say, he lost the fumble for the first time this last week. Now, he's missed a lot of time, but first missed lost fumble for Saquon. You know, I'm more concerned about Barkley than I am Jalen Hurts, but I got a feeling Jake Fromm's going to start at quarterback. And to me, I think they'll go conservative with him. So I think you're going to have a chance with Barkley, 7-1. Again, it's not easy, but that's not bad. I'll take that. I'll take 7-1.
Yeah, Barkley did have 55 rushing yards against the Dolphins, stepped up early against the Cowboys, but once they fell behind, he became completely one-dimensional in that offense. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. Joe Lisi, Scott Wetzel right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Quick update here for tonight's games. Just want to give you an update. Philly now an 8.5-point favorite. Some movement coming in on the Eagles. You might want to check the injury report for that ball game. Maybe Allen and Taylor Heinicke are out for Washington. But Scott, quickly, in terms of one more weekly special, because I do believe it's pretty intriguing. How about Matt Judon to record one sack and Hunter Henry to score one plus touchdown this week on FanDuel plus 550? Does that pique your interest this weekend?
Wow. You know, I tell you, they have been going to Hunter Henry. I picked him up, and he scored like 27 points in our fantasy this past week with a couple of touchdowns. So, that would have been the one where I'd say, you never know. But you know what? They go to him, so I'm not necessarily worried about that. With Judon, will he get one sack on Josh Allen, the way he scrambles around, runs around? I'll take that. That's not a bad little flyer at 550-1. I tell you, the other one I like there, Joe, is how about the Dolphins and Saints to both score a touchdown in each half at 4-1?
I like that.
One TD. You know, I mean, the Dolphins defense is good, but it's not necessarily that good. And the Saints defense is good, but, you know, what we saw was against, you know, scrub players, and they can't play that well again.
Right.
Anyway,
and here's one that I like, too. Aaron Jones scored a touchdown reception against Baltimore. They've been using A.J. Dillon a little bit more since he came back from injury. But Aaron Jones, one receiving, one rushing touchdown, 7-1. That piques my curiosity this week.
Who do the Packers got this week?
Packers, I looked it up. They have Cleveland, a dead Cleveland team.
A dead Cleveland team. Yeah, a dead Cleveland team. That's not too bad. 7-1. Yeah, I love those 7-1. I'll play both 7-1s with Saquon and Aaron Jones. Don't forget tonight, both football games, 7:00. It's not staggered for some goofy reason. Both on Fox, so both, you have two games at 7:00 Eastern time tonight.
Yeah, Scott and I are going to be here the rest of the week. We'll get you prepared for week number 16 for Scott Wetzel, our great producer, Andrew Torres. I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.
Found it. The answer. The
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.